opportunities like this that you get in a lifetime. This is a very young season right now. A lot at stake on this football game. But for what you pay the price for, there are great rewards.
Are you ready?
Live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Welcome into the Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. We hope you're doing well out there. A little bit of a spooky day today, Friday the 13th.
You scared, Rick?
Full moon. Does that get your blood boiling or what?
No.
No?
No. Bring it on.
Oh, you're not superstitious of the day.
Bring me a mirror, I'll break it. Walk under a ladder. I don't care.
So we'll bring you a mirror.
I'll break it.
I will detach my rear view mirror in my car just to have you break it. I'd like to see.
That seems unsafe.
Well, probably not the best idea for
really
going
unsafe.
Forward to the future, but
it just feels dumb. Why you want to break your property? Go buy a cheap mirror. We'll bring it in here, see if he breaks it. You ever think that's why your sports team's not doing so well? It's because of you and all your bad
luck. Yeah, maybe you should be a little more conscious,
Brandon.
Towards it.
Mets, Celtics, Vols, Colts, Andrew not having luck. Look what I did there. You liked that, didn't you? I know you liked it. It's okay.
You think that has anything to do with this?
Maybe. Coming on here and
no,
you're not stitious at all. Walk under a ladder and get away from you. All this bad juju you might bring my way.
Did you know that in his number one hit song, Superstition, Stevie Wonder sings, 13-month-old baby broke the looking glass, 7 years of bad luck, good things in the past. When you believe in things you don't understand, then you suffer. Superstition ain't the way.
What?
Yeah.
Very superstitious.
I'm looking up Friday the 13th facts. That's what I found. We were talking about superstition. I thought it would work. My name is Rick Butler, Brandon Orrick, Chance Collins, Weston Brown, hanging out with you for the next 2 hours on this spooky today. I'm going to say the word spooky a lot. I think it's a great word. I think when you can use it, you try to a lot.
Spooky?
Yeah.
One of my favorite words,
spooky.
Rick. One of my favorite words.
About, I don't know, what is it, 26 hours away from kickoff? Neyland Stadium, 12 o'clock noon. The Chattanooga Mocs come in. They play the Tennessee Volunteers. And that's it. That's the game, right? It's such a weird game to talk about because in a lot of these games, you know, it's fun to break down the different kind of matchups and things and whatnot, right? Right now, we're kind of just looking at this game like, ugh. Well, you kind of figure out which season you're or which direction your season is going to start to head this weekend.
What? What direction the season's going to head?
Well, it's not either going to go good or bad.
I hate to break it to you, Rick, but we're way down the crapper at this point.
But look, that's obviously not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is, I think things are drastically different if you start out 0-3 versus 1-2. Or do you not, right? Or like, how realistically, how different are those two things in your head?
I mean, if you lose to Chattanooga, shut it down. Just shut everything down. Fire everybody. Just stop. Just forfeit every game on your schedule. If you lose tomorrow, it's done.
Well, so that's what I'm saying, though, right? Tomorrow, we figure that out. Because if you win, you're at least not in that position until what? You then lose your next four. right? And then we're sitting there and we're like, well, what does this record mean? But, like, I think if you're 0-3, there are just monumental issues. And we really figured that out this week. And I think that's the biggest storyline of the game to me. It has nothing to do with the players playing in the game. I don't really care too much about, you know, what players Chattanooga has, what formations Chattanooga runs. The thing about this game is that if you lose, I would say all hell breaks loose, but I think it already has broken loose.
No, if you lose, like Brandon said, you shut it down. I heard the guys on the drive talking yesterday afternoon. Yeah, Philip Fulmer would have to, and we talked about this on the show the other day, you'd have to meet him after the game, Brett Bielema style. I've been informed that I am no longer coaching this team as walking off the field. I don't see how there would be any other route. Like, you could not keep a coach. It's one thing to start 0-3. You know, you're 0-2 for the first time since 88. It's one thing to lose to Georgia State. You lose to a Division II FCS school. Yeah, he's fired immediately, and I don't see any other way around that.
Guys, this isn't gonna happen. Why are we talking about this?
No, it's not. But I mean, just what you guys are talking about. Yeah, of course. And I guess you figure everything out this week. But do you figure anything out? Because they're gonna go win, and it's not gonna be close. But you're not gonna know anything else more about this team because it's not a true test. If they would have fought back and beat BYU or beat BYU handedly last Saturday, then, yeah, you might know a little bit more about them. They played better, but you're not going to know anything because it's the mocks. I guess you might know if you might be able to put up somewhat of a fight versus Florida, I guess is what you're getting at. That's about it. It's the mocks.
Yeah, it is. And so, I guess here are the things that I would like to see from the game this weekend is that, because Chance, you're right, everything that you see, you do kind of have to take a little bit with a grain of salt. And it's unfortunate to say that, but I don't think anybody can blame us for saying that because look at our last two games. Like, anything is in the realm of possibilities right now. As horrible as that is to say, like we somebody could easily sit here, you know, and just be like, These guys can't even give us a little bit of the benefit of the doubt against Chattanooga. Well, I'd love to, right? We'd love to give us the little bit of the benefit of the doubt. I'd love to just sit here and be like, you know what? I know what happened, but hey, it's still Chattanooga. We're going to rebound. This thing's going to come together and work all right. But right now, we're not really in that position. So the things that I want to see is, man, can we just put our foot down and keep it there? Right, we saw in the BYU game how, hey, Tennessee actually came out to a really good start those first three quarters. And I was actually, dare I say, impressed at more things than not for actually the majority of that game. But what happened? You really started to kind of fall apart there in the fourth quarter, especially for the last couple of minutes, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know whether you give credit to BYU for kind of turning it on late, or kind of blame Tennessee for not being able to close. But yeah, I mean that's something. I guess if you're going to try to take anything from the game, can Tennessee play a full 60 minutes? I don't know.
I feel like it's highly unlikely. I have no faith in the full 60 minutes. Will they win? Yeah. Is it going to look sloppy at some point? Yeah. The Mocs might even score first. Tennessee will still win.
I want to see a backup quarterback. I think you see him tomorrow regardless.
I would love to.
Regardless. But I want to see how they look. And I don't just want to see him come in there and hand the ball off either.
Yeah, because what do you have to lose at this point, right?
I mean, I could see a situation where we get up tomorrow, where Tennessee is up big, and then you pull Garantano, you put in Maurer or Shrout, and then they just run the ball, just run out the clock. and they'd never really throw it around, maybe just a quick throw here or there. I want to see him throw the ball. I want to see what we have. Because, I mean, we've talked about it all week. We've talked about it the past 2 weeks. You've got to do something with the quarterbacks. Whether, because, I mean, it's just not working right now. It's not. I mean, we've talked about it. The possibility of going 2-10 is very realistic, unless you get something figured out. And you've got to try something different. You've got to, if you're Tennessee.
Yeah, and so maybe that's the storyline of the game. Maybe it's not about, hey, how can Tennessee close out a win? How can Tennessee, really kind of rebound in the passing game? Maybe it's something like that. Maybe it's just, hey, what can you do to really kind of help the future? And I think that what you can do is, hey, you can at least establish a backup running or a backup quarterback, right? You can start to establish where you want to go with that. If you do want to open the competition back up, if you want to, throw those guys out there as a test run, and see, hey, do we think that these guys could handle the pressure or not? And especially, hey, we're going to see these guys in Neyland Stadium for a home crowd. Next week is going to be much different. And I do think that you do have to keep that in mind. I do worry about going and starting one of those quarterbacks for their first ever game.
They're not going to start.
In the Swamp?
I don't think that's not going to happen.
I can't imagine why that would happen. At the very least, like you've had Garantano. He's been there before. He's had the experience. To me, it's just, unless you see something from one of these guys this weekend that's like, hey, without a shadow of a doubt, to everyone's eyes, that's who you need to start at Florida. I can't see a quarterback change happening in that game. But nonetheless, I do think that you need to see what you got this week, because really, what other opportunity do you have until UAB?
You don't really.
The next couple of games are not the ones where, yeah, you're plugging and playing players. You're seeing what people got. You don't do that against Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi State, and Florida. This is your last opportunity. So I would be shocked if we didn't see a quarterback change. Even if that means we're blowing them out. Even if that means, hey, we're in a 7-9 game right now in the middle of the fourth quarter or in the middle of the third quarter. We got to do something on offense. I think that regardless, you probably do see another quarterback tomorrow.
You want to know something interesting, Rick?
Absolutely.
Head coach of the Chattanooga Mocs.
Yep.
Rusty Wright.
Okay, and how do I know that name?
I don't expect you to.
Okay.
But Rusty Wright, he's only been coaching for, this is his first year as head coach. But do you know where Rusty Wright coached prior to this?
No, please tell us, Brandon.
Georgia State from 2016 to 2018.
Look at you connecting.
He did, wasn't he? He was the linebackers coach, special teams guy.
He was. I'm sure he's very close with head coach Sean Elliott.
Rusty.
I'm sure they're sharing film. I'm sure he's giving them pointers.
There's plenty of film to go around with that game.
I'm not
saying. Do you put any stock into that? Because, maybe.
I don't know. At this point, I don't know.
Was Georgia State good enough to beat Tennessee, or did Tennessee just completely lose that game themselves?
Were they good enough? Did you see the final score?
But listen, what
I know what you mean.
Because look, I personally think that Tennessee absolutely killed themselves that game. So I absolutely, Sean Elliott can go and he can give some great pointers on Tennessee. He certainly knows how to bamboozle and confuse the Vols. There's no doubt about it. But I don't think it's – I do put stock into it, but I still think that that first game, the Georgia State game, was Tennessee miserably shooting themselves in the foot.
No, it was, but I mean, credit to them for pulling it off, for being able to get it done. I don't expect Tennessee to lose tomorrow. I think they get it done. I think they take care of the Mocs. But it's something to think about. I mean, there is that connection there. I'm sure he's been talking to Sean Elliott this past week.
Well, of course.
It'll be interesting. It's put a little bit of stock into it, maybe. A little bit of stock into Rusty Wright and the Georgia State head coach. We'll see. 865-546-8200. That is our number from the Nextdoor Home Group hotline. If you would like to call in and join the show on this game day eve, we're excited to get you in the show today. Whether that's Tennessee, NFL, basketball, whatever you got, come join us on the show today. We'd love to party with you. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to The Blitz, Fan Run Radio. Did you know tonight you will be able to see the full moon at its fullest at 12:32 a.m.? It's going to be about 14% smaller and 30% dimmer than when it's normally closest to Earth. It's called a micromoon.
What does that mean?
Did you know that that's a thing?
How can you tell that the moon is 30% dimmer?
NASA.
And 14% smaller. It's the moon.
I mean, we can't tell with the naked eye, Brandon, but you might be able to tell somewhat. I mean, obviously, I feel like scientists and satellites.
It's just the moon.
What is the origin of Friday the
13th? What's up with you not trusting science?
That's a good question.
What is this coming from, me not trusting science?
Mm-hmm. The other day, were you questioning the horse or something? Maybe it was a couple weeks ago. You kind of do this sometimes.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I feel like you're very skeptic. Much. Very skeptical.
I feel like that's not a bad thing, but doesn't mean that I disagree with science.
Nah. Starting to trend that way.
No.
It's fake news.
It is. Love science.
Does anybody know the origin behind Friday the 13th?
No. The Jason movie?
I've never even actually seen that. Is that a crime for me to never see Friday the 13th, or is that like,
there's many.
If you pick it up, great. If not, oh well.
There's many. Well, I feel like for horror movies, you need to at least see like one of them.
Yeah, you need the whole Jason vibe thing going on.
Jason in the hockey mask.
Now,
man.
maybe that's what to do tonight. Maybe you watch Friday the 13th tonight. Last night, though, we had a little bit of a Thursday night football game. Tampa Bay Buccaneers traveling to Charlotte, North Carolina, taking on the Panthers.
Wish this one would have been on our picks. I did call that win. You think all you guys went with the Panthers?
Yeah, we did.
I was the only one that took the Bucs.
20-14, Buccaneers.
The real winner is whoever did not watch that game last night.
What a horrible, horrible game.
Well, that's what I was talking about. Thursday night games are pretty bad.
I don't know.
Both teams are pretty bad.
I think it was the quarterbacks that just...
I mean, Cam played awful. Jameis didn't do any better.
Cam's got to be...
He actually was more accurate this week. He didn't turn the ball over. I guess that's why they won. Cam can't throw it over 20 yards like they're saying.
That was the weirdest thing.
His shoulder's jacked up.
It has to be so jacked up because when you maybe underthrow a guy a little bit, whatever. You overthrow him a little bit, whatever. But when you are Cam Newton and you are one of the most, you know, just physical specimen of an athlete ever, to see a lot of his passes that were about 20 yards just ending up a yard short was jarring. Like it was weird to see. This guy has a cannon and he just couldn't get the ball to his receivers. It looked like the decision making was just a hair slow. I don't know. Both these teams just it was a slop fest to say the least.
All the Thursday night games are. There's been like, I feel like one or two in the last 3 years that have been okay. They're all generally slop fests. It's a short turnaround for the teams. They're just never any good.
I know it's a money-making business, but for the fans, like if we just got to have our way selfishly, wouldn't you rather just get rid of that Thursday night game and put it on the Monday night football so that each Monday night football is like last week where there was an East Coast game and a West Coast game? I felt like that was perfect. Nobody needs this Thursday night game. It's not that important. We're not all craving football that much on a Thursday to where we want to sit there and be satisfied, you know, with this kind of game. Obviously, not every game is this kind of game, and not obviously this game was not like the worst football game ever played. But still.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, it wasn't good, was it? Well, don't you feel like that'd be a better idea? Or do you like the Thursday night? The color rush.
I could do without the color rush.
I like the uniforms. I just realized that.
Yeah, I don't think they're doing the color rush anymore. I think they said they're going away with
it. Oh, I really hope they bring it back for tomorrow, for next week's matchup.
Oh, God.
Everybody loves the disgusting color rush matchup between the Jags and the Titans we see every year. Please,
spare us all. Those mustard-colored uniforms that the Jags have.
Yeah. Oh.
Those are the worst. But no, I don't mind Thursday night football. I mean, for the most part, last night's game was terrible.
I mean, what was the Thursday night college game? I feel like it probably
They didn't have one last night.
And generally, they're not as good. It's not really two great teams. So people are going to go watch the NFL anyways. Like I said, it's two sloppy teams.
Cam Newton,
who knows what's up with his shoulder. Quarterback play was pretty sloppy.
You got a first year head coach on Tampa Bay's side. You got Ron Rivera, who might, you know, kind of look like he's being pushed out the door in Carolina. It was a recipe for a disaster on Thursday's game. But
well, you got a first year head coach for the Bucks,
yeah,
and Bruce Arians.
Yeah,
he's coached before, but yeah, it's just like that's two teams nobody's really trying to watch.
If you needed any positivity coming out of yesterday, though, it had to be Chris Godwin, right? He may be a fantasy stud this year. A buddy of mine was telling me he was trying to tell me to trade him for Chris Godwin, tell me how good he was going to be, and I was like, I don't know, dude. They got Mike Evans on that team, right? How can you really talk about a guy on the opposite side of Mike Evans being so much better than him? Is there like beef between Jameis Winston and Mike Evans? Why does this guy not get many catches anymore?
I think he probably gets a lot of double teams. I mean, he's still regarded as one of the better, one of the top receivers in the league. James has struggled, though, at the quarterback position. This is a big year for him. That was actually his first road win in 13 road games. He had went 12 straight road losses up until last night. I just think that problems at the quarterback position and then just Mike Evans seeing a lot of coverage.
Yeah, I don't
know where 13's at all times on the field.
Yeah. Chris Godwin, though, apparently could be pretty good. Could shape up to be a nice little addition to that offensive staff, that receiving core.
Hargraves. Fans hate to hear that name. From Florida. He made the clutch saving tackle against Christian McCaffrey. Hey, they shut down McCaffrey. McCaffrey had 209 total yards last week. He had 53 in last night's game.
Well, that was that last play that the Panthers ran.
It didn't make a lot of sense.
That was the stupidest.
Oh, yeah.
That was something that you would see Tennessee run.
Wait.
I think you did see Tennessee
run. We did
run.
See Tennessee run it. That's what was so jarring about it. We did. For Tennessee, it was the fake handoff to Ty Chandler up the middle.
Came on the 4th and 1.
Yeah, on the 4th and 1. You had Austin Pope and you had Josh Palmer. It was the weirdest play. Carolina goes and decides to do the same thing, kind of an end around to a fake, another end around. Cam Newton's off talking to the offensive line on the right side. Hey, you have Cam Newton.
Maybe the most
genuinely athletic quarterback in the NFL. Just tell him to put his head down and fall forward.
Yeah, it was kind of confusing that I want to say before the game, the Panthers, or it had talk had been about. Maybe Ron Rivera said, I'm not really sure, that they were going to go back to relying a lot on Cam in the running game because they struggled, you know, throwing the ball in the first game. There's questions if he can, if he's having trouble throwing the ball because maybe lingering shoulder issues. And then they really didn't lean on him when they could have the most. I mean, 1 yard, he's always been known to push the pile and get those, you know, short yardage situations very easily. They come to him. So I didn't understand that last play. Why didn't they just give it to Cam to bust through and, you know, probably potentially get the touchdown and just win the game?
Yeah, and I get the idea of, you know, when Christian McCaffrey is a guy that you want to get space because he works best in space, but man, this is like what, a 4th and 1 yard play? It's, I think you're on kind of close to the 30, the 35, the 40 yard line, about to score. You just use power football. It didn't make any sense. Not a good call. Ended up losing the game. But that right there is Thursday night football. Did you guys see that? Minkah Fitzpatrick has been granted a trade from the Dolphins.
Yeah, things not so great down in South Beach. You know, there was rumors last week that players have noticed that coaches are attempting to lose on purpose and tank. I think the tank for Tua is going on, and said that players were requesting trades, and local beat writers in Miami said that wasn't true. And then you got Minkah Fitzpatrick, and he's requesting a trade because he's tired of playing multiple positions, which I thought was kind of odd because I felt like he played multiple positions. He was very much a hybrid at Alabama. I know he played majority safety, but he played kind of nickelback. He's kind of a hybrid player because he could do it all.
Guys, not about playing multiple positions, right?
Well, it's about that he's on the Dolphins.
It's about
I'm
that
sure.
He came from Alabama where he never lost a game. He only won championships. Now he's on the Dolphins where they're just getting embarrassed more than any other professional team in the country right now. Like, that's got to be the – obviously, when you're doing this trade, you got to come sign a legitimate reason, right?
I mean, it's only been one game.
Right.
So, and that's why I'm confused that the Dolphins let him go. Hey, this is one of the perennial young talent in the league. You got him on a good contract right now. He's going to help your team.
Got him in last year's draft.
Yeah, why? What is the sense of letting him go? Like, you're just – you are laying down to the team right now, telling the fans, you know, hey, yeah, if our guys want to go, we're going to kind of let them.
Minkah's,
we don't value the team that
much. Minkah Fitzpatrick's mom had his back, Melissa, during their joint practice with the Buccaneers last month in August. Mentioned on Twitter that he was being incorrectly used as strong safety to suit other players' skill set. Fitzpatrick confirmed that he agreed with his mother's thoughts after that practice, saying, quote, she feels very strongly. She's not wrong. Coach is asking me to do something right now. I got to do what they asked me to do. If we have some discussions in the future, we'll have those discussions. But, quote, he went on to say, I'm not 215 pounds, 220 pounds, so playing in the box isn't best suited for me, but that's what coach is asking me to do. Yeah, I feel like it's just a rollover from a guy, like you said, not used to losing. But you say, why do the Dolphins, why are they going ahead and they're going to seek, let him go ahead and seek a trade? Seems like they are trying to tank, trying to get rid of the talent, trying to bring in some picks. They're asking for a first-round pick for him. So seems like the tank is on.
Yeah, that they are, what, fully in on Tua right now.
Tank for Tua.
There's no doubt about it. But, man, it just for me, it's like, is there no one else that you get rid of besides the guy that you drafted last year who's going to be a key part on the defense? I don't know. NFL's weird right now. I love it. I love everything about the NFL going on. I think it is a whole lot of fun. Broadcasting live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios today of Fox Sports Knoxville. Again, if you'd like to join the program, 865-546-8200. Going to catch a quick break. Then coming back to you, listening to The Blitz on Friday the 13th.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Eddie Money.
An iconic legend, an amazing singer-songwriter of the day.
Oh, get out of here.
Hold on. Classic hits.
I shouldn't say that.
Classic hits such as Can't Hold Back. Playing for Keeps.
That's not his songs.
Yeah, what do you?
That's not the song that he's known for.
You're right, that's the albums.
He's known for this one especially. RIP to Eddie Money, 70 years of age.
Man, two tickets to paradise.
Dies from, I want to say it was
cancer.
It was stage four esophageal cancer, I think is what it popped up and said.
Shaken, the 1982 classic. It was a hit. RIP Eddie Money.
String of top 40 hits through the 70s and 80s. Eddie Money, Rick, during the break, though, peeked behind the curtain. Like, I was like, hey, guys, Eddie Money died. I was like, Weston, can you find Take Me Home tonight to come back from the break with that? And so he finds it, and Rick's like, Eddie Money, overrated, one-hit wonder. Yeah. And then Brandon starts playing some songs like, oh, I know that one. Oh, I know that one, too. I totally didn't know who that guy
Eddie
was.
Eddie Money is great. Was yeah. great.
Was great.
Well, RIP. I wanted to get a good, I wanted to get a good stir going, but I didn't know who he was. I was just going on the, I was just taking the other side of things, and then you did start playing the songs, and I was like, oh, I know these songs.
Real name Eddie Mahoney.
Oh, yeah, Eddie Money, way cooler.
It's already happening, Friday the 13th.
Oh yeah,
this is your fault.
I mean, it's gonna come in threes. Who are the other two people going to die today?
Oh no!
It doesn't have. It doesn't mean it's going to happen today.
That's true.
Tennessee football.
He's going to die.
Get out of here! Turn your mind off.
Tomorrow will
like,
be the day.
We're 2 weeks past that.
That Tennessee
right?
football dies.
R.I.P. Eddie Money,
and is never brought back from the pits of hell.
Way to paint a bleak picture.
Chance. Speaking of superstition. Brandon, what is your guy Pete Alonso doing?
Whoa.
He's leading the major leagues in home runs.
He is doing that as a rookie.
That
I
is
feel
true.
Like he's on the roids.
He's a stud.
I feel like we got to look into this.
No chance. We don't.
I feel like he's on the roids.
I mean, why are you asking me this? Because he shaved his mustache mid-game?
Yeah, but you're saying that.
Yeah, what kind of
you're saying that very
stuff
casually.
Was that?
What do you mean?
I know I saw where he shaved his face or something.
He said after the game, I've had very terrible at-bats before. And so I'm like, all right, mustache, it's got to go. Simple as that. So he went right back there after the sixth inning. Went back, grabbed his razor, shaved off his mustache, came back out to the plate. Clean man.
Did he hit a home run?
No.
So it didn't really do anything for him? Except created some content for us.
Just
on
because well, you don't hit a home run doesn't mean it wasn't a good at bat.
Maybe he's more confident. There are some insane things that sports players do, like superstitious wise. I'm trying to find some of them out. But there's like, let's see, Mike Bibby would clip his fingernails during every timeout.
Yep.
What?
It's true.
Yeah?
It's very much true.
Like, he would one finger per time. Like, how does that work?
Constantly clipping his finger.
Says, during his NBA career, point guard Mike Bibby's nervous habit of biting his nails took on a life of its own. He was often spotted on the bench ferociously gnawing on his nails, obsessively picking at them and making everyone around him nervous in the process.
That's not really clipping.
So he would not clip his nails. He would bite them.
I guess
nails.
So, yeah.
Oh. Well, there's a difference.
Well, I'm just reading the headline here. Let's see. Brian Urlacher says, prior to Super Bowl XLI in Miami that they lost to Peyton Manning and the Colts. The pregame ritual of the Bears linebacker Brian Urlacher was revealed to the public. It doesn't involve crushing skulls or busting heads. Urlacher likes to keep things chill in his house hours leading up before the big game. He unwinds for an hour by watching his favorite fishing show on television and making cookies. Mean Brian Urlacher. Spent every game day before the game making cookies and watching the Fishing Network.
I'm on that. I'm a big cookie guy.
Kind of respect that one, honestly.
Big cookie guy.
Obviously, everyone knows about the playoff beard. That one is something that, like, even high school teams, like, I remember my lacrosse team did that. Let's see. What other ones were there? I'm trying to go through these. Oh, the Madden curse. The Madden curse for a while was one of the weirder things that was going on. Dante Culpepper, Michael Vick, Donovan McNabb, Sean Alexander, Peyton Hillis, all just victims to the Madden curse. I remember when this first came out. Remember when Peyton Hillis was on the cover of Madden?
Who?
Peyton Hillis?
Who?
The Browns running back?
Yeah.
He was like number 40. It was super weird.
He led the league in rushing 1 year.
Yeah. And out of nowhere, he is given the cover of Madden, and then you might never hear from him again.
Remember Caron Butler?
Yes. He was. I had his shirt jersey for the Mavs.
He played for your Mavs?
Uh-huh. What did he do?
One of his superstitions was that he drank Mountain Dew before and during the games. He would down a 2-liter bottle of Mountain Dew.
A whole two liter. Yep. Holy cow.
Down half the bottle before the game and the rest during the game.
That's like Marshawn Lynch with the Skittles.
Yep.
Marshawn Lynch, known for the Skittles antics on the sideline. I don't know, some weird things. Some weird stuff.
Anybody see Gilbert Arenas yesterday?
No.
Talk about a blast from the past, Gilbert Arenas.
Oh, yeah. Agent Zero.
Yeah, big in the Big Three League.
So Stephen A. Smith had a post on Instagram. My reaction to the new California bill allowing students to get endorsements. This is America. That's what Stephen A. Smith said. And then Gilbert Arenas at No Chill Gil.
No Chill Gil.
On nice. The gram.
Great follow.
This is America. And every school you named, those players get paid way more anyway. You really think players are going to Duke without being paid over Kentucky? I know two players in the last 5 years that's gotten $200,000 to attend Duke.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's no surprise. I don't think anybody doesn't doubt that. Coach K started getting into the one and done factor.
No, but I mean everybody knows that, but nobody's ever come out and said it. I feel like
Gilbert Arenas holds enough credibility to where if he's saying, you know, hey, I know this, it's like, okay, well, now there's a little bit of weight to it.
I don't know about Gilbert's credibility. He says some wacky stuff sometimes, but I understand what Brandon's saying. Like, nobody ever really just comes out and says it about Duke. Like everybody knows, but there's not, like, just anybody who's just accusing Duke. Speaking of universities, I might be the only one in this that feels this way. Or if I may not be the only one that feels this way. I'm the only one that's going to say something about it. What do you guys think about the bullied kid who got the scholarship now?
Oh, no. Chance, what are you about to do? What are you about to do?
When's it going to end?
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. He got sent, like, what'd they say, like, they already are good for a shirt. They've already sold pre-sold more than 50,000 of those T-shirts. That's awesome. That's going to go to that charity.
Chance right?
All the fans
bully.
Sent him all this gear. The university, the ball shop, everybody sent him all this gear. I'm just going to give him a scholarship
too. Here's my thing. Why does there have to be a limit on the amount of good or in the world that we live in right now? Where every corner you turn is just somebody spitting vitriol.
We're
going to
give every bullied kid
streets.
In America a scholarship. I said
Here's what we are going to do. We are going to make an example out of something, right? We're going to make an example so this story hits nationwide.
Is this going
right?
to stop bullying?
Is anything ever going to stop bullying fully, right? But why does there have to be a limit?
I'm just saying, when do we stop?
No, why does there have to be a limit to the amount of good things you do?
I think we're just going a little bit overboard. We're going to give him a car next, too, when he turns 16.
Wow, Chance supports bullying.
Do we even know?
I feel like you're being...
Thank you. I know where you're going with it.
Do we even know to the extent of how he got bullied?
Yep.
I mean, was his Florida friends just be like, ha ha, UT?
Oh, my God.
Yep. Maybe they were just poking a little fun, ripping him a little bit. Hey, you remember the Keaton kid?
Yeah.
What happened with that? Everybody was all in the fields. We found out his parents were racist. And then that changed the whole story.
He can't help that.
It's true.
You're going to blame him for the decisions of his parents?
No.
I think you just did.
I did.
And? wait. And?
That's what I did. You're right. But that's what happened with Keaton. Is this what's going to happen with... We don't even know this kid's name.
No, it's probably better that way.
That's good. He's a minor. I'm just saying. What are you going to give him next? When's it going to stop?
If there was a Florida kid that wore a Florida shirt to like an East Tennessee high school, I mean, if in your kid,
it happens all the time.
And your kid was like, "Ha ha, Florida shirt." Yep. I mean, is it that big of a deal?
Yep. Like where you're going with it, Weston?
Wow.
Not in support of the Bullets.
You just are. Is it that?
I feel like
Weston,
I'm not
over,
in support.
Is that big? Is it that big
like,
of a deal? If
I just feel like when do we? I just feel like when do we stop?
Weston supports bullying. Weston, you have a child. What if someone was making fun of your child?
I don't support bullying.
For wearing a shirt?
Yeah. How would you feel?
If it's good sports fun, huh?
Yeah. You got to tough up a little bit if it's a shirt.
He's a tough up. South with W. Not in support of the bullies.
What if it made your child cry?
I do think there's a stopping point with how much are we
what
over?
I do feel like we I do feel like this is
it?
The I do feel like this is
like
probably
we're overdoing
point,
it. Like,
I will
like,
say,
like
I will
Tennessee,
say. I'm all for it, but yeah,
Tennessee. No, but, all right. Here's another thing to think about. This
were you not someone on this show was proposing? Why not? Why don't we give him a scholarship? Someone said that earlier this week. I know for a fact.
I hope it wasn't me. but. I was going to say, is this Tennessee's ill attempt at, like, hey, football ain't really helping us right now. PR people over there is like, you got to do something. Hey, send that damn kid a scholarship. That'll get everybody in, at least feeling a little bit good. Come on. It's helped out a little bit. Come on.
I think it was you that said it.
We'll never know.
Oh, we will. We will.
A little bit more NFL news as we wrap up the first hour here on the Blitz, 865-546-8200. If you want to call in and chat about the game tomorrow, see what I did there? Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Boo.
Good job.
So back to the NFL news. It looks like the New England Patriots are reportedly expecting Antonio Brown to play on the field Sunday. Not a big surprise, right?
Not a huge surprise, but a little bit, given everything that's kind of surrounding him.
If you want to win, put AB in. Let AB spin. I like it.
If you want to win, I mean, they are the Patriots.
They won last week.
They're playing the Dolphins.
They're going to kick ass this week, though.
They are the Dolphins.
Dolphins got 59 put up on them by the Ravens. What can the Patriots do?
The Patriots are an 18.5 point favorite against the Miami Dolphins, who just lost 0-59 at home versus a they were a playoff team last year. I think they got knocked out in the first round. Ravens, good team, right? 59-0, pretty bad. Put that in a little bit of perspective. Tennessee is a 28-point favorite against Charlotte.
Chattanooga.
I did it again.
Yep.
That is like a mental obstacle. I just cannot get
push
over.
Through it.
I cannot get over calling them Charlotte when I'm not. The only time I actually say Chattanooga is when I'm really thinking about it. So if you ever hear me actually say Chattanooga, you can think to yourself that, you know, that Rick's putting all his concentration to just making sure that he gets this name right here. Congratulations. You got it once out of every six times. But look, isn't that a little weird? The New England Patriots, an 18.5-point favorite, and people are calling it a little shocking how high it is against the Dolphins.
I mean, you usually don't see an NFL line above two touchdowns. Really.
What would you take on that line right now?
Oh, I'd put all the money I have on the Patriots.
To go over 18.5?
Yeah, they'd cover that.
Chance Gambling expert on the show?
They're covering that.
They're covering 18.5. Yeah. I'm betting the bank on that one.
Yeah.
I mean, like, seriously, with everything that's going on, you got a jilted locker room. First-year coach. Seems like the entire organization is accepting the tank I mean, players are mentioning it, so like that many players mention it, even if the beat writers in Miami say they're not, it's got to be some legs to it. Fitzpatrick wants out. He's probably not going to play this week if he's asking for a trade. They don't want to get him hurt before they trade him. Yeah, I think they cover easy. If the Ravens put up 59 and the Patriots, much better disciplined team with one Tom, the GOAT, Brady, and then you add Josh Gordon, if he does what he did last week, Burkhead even had a nice game. Sonny Michel didn't get going, but maybe he gets going this week, and they have AB along with this Philip Dorsett kid.
You just stop it at halftime. Yeah. Play a half. Stop. Let everyone go home.
He's
early.
He's already dead.
Come on. Torrey Smith just retired.
Yeah.
Two-time Super Bowl champion with Baltimore and Filthy.
Just did a post on more than a player, I think is what that is.
The Undisputed – or yeah. Uninterrupted.
Uninterrupted. I think it's called More Than the Game, More Than the Player. But
an
yeah.
athlete, yeah.
More Than Athlete. Thank you, Rick. And, yeah, Torrey Smith, deep threat for many, many years.
He was fun to watch.
It was fun to watch.
That wraps up hour number one. Do not go anywhere, though. The Blitz coming up for hour number two. We'll see you there.